us. Good morning. Welcome to the home place. Go ahead and take your Bibles if you'd like. Might be better if you have your bulletin, because we want you to read along with us and do the responsive reading with us as well. And we're kind of breaking in on the middle of some of the verses, a little bit like we did last week, but we're reading from Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. And I'd like for you to join us in that. So if you have your bulletin, if you don't have one, simply raise your hand. I didn't tell the guys to be ready for this, but they're ready at a moment's notice. If you'd like to receive a bulletin, we'd want to put one in your hands. It's got the announcements and things like that. But anyhow, if you need one, raise your hand. They'll get it to you. I'm going to ask Brother Dave Rogers. I know that you're equipped with your saxophone over there, always serving and doing things, playing in the orchestra. I'll ask if he'll come and lead us in prayer as we begin this morning. Isaiah 55, I'll read the normal print. If you'll read the bold print, we'll enjoy God's Word beginning our morning this morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God does not return void. It is not an empty thing to deliver, and it does not return empty. So give it out, speak it, communicate it, deliver it, preach, and share Christ. Brother Dave Rogers, if you'll please come and open us in prayer, sir. Thank you.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house and worship you today. We thank you that Jesus does save, Lord, and we ask that through the music and the preaching of the Word today, that if there's somebody that's here that does not know you as their Savior, that they'll come to know you as their Savior. Lord, I ask a special blessing on the service today, and upon Pastor as he preaches and brings the message to us, Lord, help us to be attentive to what he has for us. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us in the coming weeks as we head towards that 20th anniversary. Lord, give us a great and glorious day on that day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In this day in which we find ourselves, a lot of people are wondering who is going to save our nation, who's going to save our country, who's going to save the future of our families and all that kind of thing. So today it is not by accident. It's not by accident that you're going to find something emphasized throughout the morning service. Jesus saves. 438. Let's sing that, please. Let's stand together. 438.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing it triumph for the gloom. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
one time I saw this written by one of those airplanes over top of Orlando. Has anyone ever seen that, Jesus Saves, written right there in the clouds and things? If there's only two words that you can say, this is the two words to give. On the last verse now, give the wind a mighty voice. Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. This morning I am up here and able to play this bass because of the unbelievable outpouring of each and everyone's prayers, loves, and financial support. I thank the Lord for an amazing, supportive, loving church who, through their sacrifice, has been able to help me get this bass. Thank you all. We will now play Jesus Take Me.
A lot of times we wonder how many churches you get that in. I don't even know how many places you can go that you can get something like that. That was nourishing. That was beautiful. Thank y'all so much for that. If you're a guest here with us, I'm thinking you're already glad you came. But we want you to know that we're glad you came as well. It's a great start to the service. But we want to also have a record of your visit with us. We don't want you to just come and go without us realizing it. And you might slip into the crowd and slip out. And we would hate to not realize that you were a guest with us this morning. Our ushers are coming down this morning right now. They've got some cards and pens, and we'd like to give you that pen. And what we'd like to do is put that card and pen in your hand. If you'll fill that card and give it back to us, we would truly appreciate it. And if you're a first-time guest with us this morning, if you'll just slip your hand up, these guys are coming right back. They'll be there as soon as they see your hand and get that into your hand. If it's the first time that you've been here with us here at the home place, we got some right over here. Oh, awesome. Anybody else, just slip it up. These guys will see you. You don't have to hold it up too high. They'll recognize you, but just high enough, and keep it up until they get there. Here's what we'd like you to do. We want you to keep that pen as a reminder of your visit with us, but after you fill that card out, in a few moments, the offering plate will go by. You'd be free to put that in the offering plate and get it back to us that way. We'd be glad to have it. What we'd rather you do, though, is to bring that with you to our guest reception area, which will be set up right after the service out the back doors and just to the right. We have an area set up specifically to meet, greet you a little while, let you ask any questions that you have from us. We have some refreshments there and a gift that we'd like for you to have a reminder of your visit with us to go with that pen, and, of course, just a chance for us to get to know you a little bit. Now, we do have some announcements that we want you to pay attention to. I won't mention all of them that are in the bulletin, but always be mindful of things that are listed there. A couple that are not in here, search the Scriptures. Our dinner will be this Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. This Saturday at 3 o'clock, there will be no meal, just some light refreshments, but we're covering the book of 2 Peter. So we'll go through that epistle, the questions, the study guide, if you've been studying along with that. Look forward to seeing you there. Those are exciting, engaging discussions, and we all learn a great deal. And it's a chance for us to share with one another and teach each other what the Holy Spirit's been teaching us. So we ask you, if you've been a part of that and you don't come to the meetings, please bless us with what God's blessed you with. We want to hear what God's been teaching you. Also, Horizons. Tonight after the service, Horizons, we'll be going out to eat. The request has been to go to Cheddar's. So if you'd like to come on and go with us, it's just a time for us to get together and go eat as a Sunday school class. So if you'd like to go, some of you serve in other places and you wouldn't have heard the announcement this morning, but we want you to know about it. And if you need directions or so on, of course, we can get those to you. Now, I draw your attention to the very last. Of course, we don't want to forget about Southwide. But if you hadn't made plans for that, you might be a little late. I don't know. We might can squeeze you in. But the 20th anniversary coming up on October the 13th, or 16th, rather. If October the 16th, big day. You need to plan to be here, but there's a few things that we want you to plan along with that, not just being here. We want you to be prepared to leave a thanks offering, I guess you could say, just a token of gratitude, really, is what it is. We will take a special offering that day, and anything not marked for normal church things, missions or something like that, all other offerings, and we'll have envelopes provided so that you can definitely get it this way. Those things will go as a thanks gift to Pastor and Miss Becky, as that's going to be their last day with us, and we're sad for that, but we're going to enjoy the time that day. So come and get a good seat and get comfortable, because it's going to be an exciting service. There's going to be some things you perhaps haven't seen before. I know we're all looking forward to a couple of things from folks that are coming into town that are that we've been left in the dark a little bit. Brother Richard Wallace has something that he's got planned especially for that day as well. Pastor will be preaching. He will be preaching. These other fellows are just coming to be a part of it. I know they want to be a part of it. And as soon as it's over, we're going to have a barbecue lunch right there in the activities building and anywhere else that we need to spread out and enjoy lunch together after that service that morning. But the thing we're going to need is dessert. So go ahead and plan for that. I know we got a few weeks, but go ahead and plan for that. And what we'd like for you to do, please, ladies, when you bring those desserts, or men, whoever brings them, when you bring them already cut into slices. That saves a ton of time for those that have to prepare those and put them into the dishes that we set them out for distribution. So if you will, go ahead and cut them into slices. And the size of the slice, I guess that's up to you. But Pastor Parker used to say that his slice was, he took one small slice out of the rest out of the pie, and the rest of it was his slice. So however you interpret that. But if you will, cut those up and have those ready for that day. Thank you.
731, you can remain seated. The choir will stand. 731, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the battle, see his banners go on.
That time of the year again, but it's time for the shoebox gifts for Christmas. And you say, I don't know about that. I don't know how they use it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That little kid over in Mozambique is not going to wonder about anything except they know they get something from Christians. Amen. And you can put in the box. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not real good at this. Going from this to this. But you'll get it figured out, okay? You got to bend it at the right time and put it in the right place and all that kind of thing. And then there's the little brochure that tells you how to do it. And I don't know whether the brochure tells you how to do it or not, but it tells you what to put in it. And then you have also a little thing you can tear off and put whether it's a boy, for a boy or for a girl. And then you can check on there the age group that you would... that you'd think that would be for. And they have suggestions in there for that. And if you'd like to take those, as you've done every year for so long now, take them with you today. And if you take them today, that'll give you a long time to figure out how to bend that thing and get it put together. I can see duct tape all over these things and all that kind of stuff. That's about the only way I can make it work. I have here a note. Dear church family, I want to give you a huge thank you for your support. While I work with human trafficking survivors, and for the generous support as we raise awareness in the community about this topic. It feels wonderful to have a church family behind me as I witness to these survivors and educate others. This is from Jennifer Alvarado, and we thank the Lord for that. 40 years ago, there was a young man in the Air Force in Panama, and he talked this young lady into going with him to the chapel, and they were going to have a service in which they would be married. He said he had a license, but he said it was only good for 5 years. And so yesterday, for the 8th time, they renewed that 5-year license. Now, wait, you got to know who it is. You got to know who it is. This is Mike and Dallas Wright. Dallas, stand up. Mike's up here. And that's kind of crazy, but I can see Mike doing that. You didn't believe him, did you, Dallas? You didn't believe him for a minute, did you? Did you believe him? No. Okay. All right. All right, ushers, come forward, if you will. We'll receive our offering for today. Well, you know, it's really time, as I told the people Thursday night, it's time for me to really get morbid about this thing now. On October the 9th, The 9th is a Sunday before Southwide begins on the 10th, and that's in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll be preaching in Greenville, North Carolina that morning, and then back at the church where Southwide will begin the next night. And really the first service of Southwide is Sunday night. And as the moderator, I'll be preaching there that night. And so I have this Sunday and next Sunday, and then it's my final Sunday and on the 16th. And so just let me indulge myself in misery, you know, and say, poor me, and I'm old, and I'm leaving. And but at least I'm taking a young lady with me that plays the piano, and so that's a good thing. But these days are difficult days. In one way, and yet joyous days in another way. And I don't know where Daniel is. Daniel, where are you? Daniel Rogers. I saw you early. Oh, you're still up here. Okay. No wonder I can't see you. Preachers never see anybody on the front row. But I don't know. Did we put out stuff Thursday night? Some of it was taken? All of it was taken? Okay. I'm putting out books, souvenirs from the Holy Land as I clean out my office and I'm clearing things. I have some books that I'm throwing away because I use them for research, but I don't want anybody else reading them because they're not really, you know, they're from other perspectives other than our perspective, and I would not. And CDs and... I think I've just gone ahead and thrown away cassette tapes, any old eight tracks. I throw those away. I'm throwing away VHS big tapes, you know, those big videotapes. I'm throwing those away. But any CDs, DVDs, and so forth like that I'm not going to carry with me, I put them out, and I'll have some out tonight. Try to remember to bring some next Sunday morning. There's still a bunch of stuff. But whatever it is, you can have it. And I told Daniel, I said, anything they don't take, take it immediately to the dumpster. Take it immediately to the dumpster. Just don't make me make a decision about, do you want this back? Yeah, no. Yeah, well, yeah, no. I don't want to have to go through that, okay? You don't want to have to go through that. So, good day. What a beautiful fall day in Florida today, you know? Cooling off a little bit, isn't it? What is it, down to about 98 today? Something like that. Well, I'm glad you're here and this good day. Visitors, good to have you. What a delight to have you. Shook hands with some folks this morning, said, we found you and we found this church like 2 weeks before you announced your retirement. How can that happen? Oh, well, they said, we've been here a couple of months. I said, I've been here longer than a couple of months. But we're glad you're here and glad for this good day. And I think after the offering, the choir is singing, honored, glorified, exalted. I think I said last Sunday night, I preached last Sunday morning, 15th anniversary. I left here, went and preached 15th anniversary over at the Indian River Baptist Church. And the choir sang, honored, glorified, exalted. I may have told you that last Sunday night. Did I tell you that last Sunday night? And I sang it. I sang every word of it. I was sitting right down on about the third row, and I was sitting with some little boys, some Andre little boys. And the choir singing. And the choir singing. And I'm singing. I'm singing my heart out. And these little boys are going. And so I may sing this morning while they're singing too, but I'll turn my mic off, I promise, okay? Father, thank you so much for this day and the time we come to the offering. We give and worship you, Lord, with what we give. And ask, Lord, that you'll give wisdom in the use of it. Maximize it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. He does live.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Amen.
May he be honored, glorified, and exalted in our lives, in the church. He is honored, glorified, exalted in heaven. He is that. May it be true here. May it be true now. I was trying to remember back the first time I led that song. First time I led that song, I had been introduced to the song at a music clinic at Callaway Gardens. If you know Callaway Gardens, about 100 miles southwest of Atlanta. And I was at a big music conference there, and they entered it, and they introduced it there. And I'm trying to think of Camp Kirkland and Jay Rouse and the people that wrote the song and introduced it at that. And I think you were with me, Becky. Weren't we there together? We were there together. And man, my eyes filled with tears. And I said, we got to sing that song. And I took it back to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, to Franklin Road Baptist Church. And we sang that song as soon as we could learn it after I got home. And it was just like this morning. It was just electric. It was just electric in that place. And the next time we sang it, we had people coming to sing in the choir that had never been in the choir. They just wanted to be up there and be part of that. And I don't know. I think of one of the Walker boys. It was Bart, wasn't it? Bart Walker. I think Bart Walker. Bart Walker never been in the choir before. He'd never been in the choir since. But he came in to sing one Sunday morning because we were going to do that song. He just wanted to be part of it. Oh, what are we supposed to do now? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's stand and let's sing it. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Then someday I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's God, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I know he reigns. And because I can face tomorrow because he lives, all fear is gone because I know those around you. Welcome someone to the service. Meet someone you don't know, maybe.
And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, is worth the living just because he lives.
Thank you. You may be seated. I looked in the bulletin and I saw the name of this group that's supposed to, I don't know whether they're going to play or sing or play and sing or whatever it is y'all are going to do. But anyway, I saw in the bulletin this name I had never seen before. And it was a strange looking name. And I knew what it represented. I knew it represented Marinchenko and Rogers combined in some form. I don't know who did that, but it looks like something Michelle would do. I don't know. But anyway, I couldn't figure out whether they were going to all be here or whether it was some kind of strange combination and none of them were going to be here. But anyway, I know you'll enjoy their singing. Then have your Bible ready as I come back and preach.
Just the cross, Christ is
Amen. Whatever the name of that group is, they did good. Okay. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, if you will. The book of Psalms. And find the 78th Psalm. One of the longer Psalms, 72 verses in this particular Psalm. And they are rehearsing. The psalmist is rehearsing in this psalm God's mighty work in delivering Israel and working through them and bringing them to the point where they now find themselves at this time. And I call your attention to a particular part of it. You understand, I trust, that at this point in the ministry of a pastor, it is time for me to review some things with you. It is time for me to say some things that have brought us to where we are and that will carry you to where God wants to take you. And so today, I bring you to this passage of Scripture, I believe, under God's leadership. Verse 41. I'll read verse 40. 39. No. Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? Now, if you know your book, and you know the Old Testament, and you know the book of Exodus, and you know the book of Numbers, if you know the book of Deuteronomy, you know what's going on here, and you know that to which is referred. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, there's no doubt about who the Holy One of Israel is. It is Jehovah God Almighty, the God of the Bible. The God who created the world and all that therein is. The God who created this universe and put us here. The God who designed, after man had gone astray, to bring man back to himself. They tempted God. That doesn't mean they solicited God to evil. It means they tried to put God to the test. They wanted to put tests upon God. God forbid we ever do such a thing. Well, God, if you're really God, if you're really there, then you do this. Put God to the test? Who do we think we are? Many years ago, I had the responsibility of taking a truckload of books to various Bible colleges and selling books at ridiculously low price to Bible college students. Buy one, pick up three books, pay for the most expensive one, the other two are free. Boy, some of them maximized it. They would find the three most expensive books and pay for one and get the other two free. They knew how to work the system, but that's all right. Guys in the warehouse would load the books in the truck, and it was my responsibility to then get in the truck and take off, and they did the hard part, and then I would do the easy part. Drive it to the school, unload the books, put them out on display, then load them back up. Preaching chapel and all that kind of stuff, everything. You know, you always got an old truck, an old rental truck with the fenders flopping on it, you know, and all that kind of thing, and a lot of noise and all that kind of stuff. But this morning when I was leaving, on this Monday morning when I was leaving, we came out of devotions with the people, and I went out to get into the truck, and it was brand new. Good-looking truck. Brand new. It had like 1,500, 2,000 miles on it, something like that. And it was back in those days that it was unusual, but there was a cassette player in it. I said, whoa. captain's chairs with arms in the truck. I said, this is going to be okay. I went back inside the building and went to my office and picked up a bunch of cassette tapes, and I said, I'll enjoy this trip. Got in the truck, took off, told everybody goodbye, said goodbye to Becky. And I said, and I was going to pull out through town, boy, you know, power, it just take off, you know, I mean, automatic transmission, whole nine yards. Pulled out, got on the interstate, just took off down the interstate, everything's okay, everything's good. And there's a car, always a car in front of you, running just 2 miles an hour under the speed limit. And so I pulled into the left-hand lane, turned on my turn signal, did everything just right, got into the left-hand lane, and I hit the accelerator. And when I hit the accelerator, it went, I said, whoa. I let up on it. I hit it again. Sitting right there, 67 miles an hour. That was it. Uphill, downhill, flat ground. Downhill, if you put it in neutral and let it drift, it'd go a little bit faster than that. How many of you know what was wrong with it? It had a governor. Had a governor on it. Yeah. Now, whenever we're talking about the governor, we're not talking about that bald-headed guy that lives in a big house in Tallahassee. We're not talking about him. We're talking about a device that somebody put on that engine to cause it to not be able to release its entire potential. It was a limiter. And that week or so that I drove that truck, I had a lot of time to think about what a governor does. And the various types of governors that they put on engines that control actual speed, that control RPMs, that do it through gas flow, that do it through whatever, a number of ways. And I got to thinking, I wonder if we ever do that to God. Now we serve, as I said, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the God who spoke and the worlds came into existence, the God who said, let there be light, and the universe was filled with light, the Creator God, with whom nothing shall be impossible. The Creator God, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful. The God who caused that a woman, 90 years old, and her husband, who was as good as dead at 100 years old, that they should naturally conceive and have a child of promise. The God who caused a virgin to be with child by encasing himself in the womb of Mary and developing according to the processes that he created, and being born without an earthly father, no seed of man involved. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the reality. That's who He is. But so often in the practical realm, we see Christians who are powerless, who are ineffective in their prayer life, who, if they witness, have no power in their witness. We see churches that are stagnant and dead,
and who say, well, this is just another day, and we cannot do what used to be done in the church because this is another day. And we say that with a Bible that proclaims to us the all-powerful God we claim to love, we claim to serve and worship. We do not count on Him in our lives. We do not see His evidence in what's going on around us. It's as if God has lost His power. As I drove that truck brand new, built to run with potential that was way beyond what I was able to experience. Why? Was the potential not in that engine? Certainly the potential was in that engine. What had happened? Something had limited it. There was something in that engine that had been put there to keep it from releasing its full potential. And I think that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have come to the place that we have things in our lives that keep God from releasing His full potential in our lives. God is too good to be unkind. God is too wise to make a mistake. And God is too powerful to have His purposes thwarted. But it seems that His people have had things brought into their lives that keep the Almighty from manifesting His power through us as He designs to do. Now, I don't know whether you sense that or not in your life. But it's said here in this verse, as impossible as it seems to me, that an almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God would be limited by His people over whom He is all-powerful. How would they limit Him? And yet, that's what the Scripture says happened. And if it happened then, it can certainly happen now. I'm going to give you some ways I think that we limit God. I may give you 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever. But some ways we limit God. Number one, we limit God by forgetfulness. Now, in verse 42 right here, it says that is exactly what these people did. In verse 42, it says, they remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. You know that's talking about them coming out of Egypt. Here they have been slaves in Egypt. They have been in bondage there. And God sends a deliverer. And He, without them striking a blow, delivers them out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt, and they carry it to the land that God has promised to them. God delivers them from the mightiest army on the face of the earth. He leads them through the Red Sea on dry ground. The army follows, and He destroys the army behind them. What a victory! What a victory! Now, it took a little faith to walk down in the Red Sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side of them. It took a little faith to do that. But God did that for them. Now they come up here and they send spies into the land to check out the land to see what God has given to them. And the people are to come back and tell them, oh, it's wonderful, and here are the grapes, and it's a land of milk and honey, and it just flows with that. And it's a wonderful place. Instead, they come back and they say, oh, there's giants in the land, and there's walled cities. And these little third world country, little cities, nothing compared to the might of Egypt. Nothing to compare to the armies of the greatest nation in the world at that time. And they become intimidated by these little cities with walls around them and a few guys that are big and tall. And they say, oh, we can't do that. May I remind you, and may I remind them, they did not deliver themselves from Egypt. Why are they saying now, we can't do that? They're saying, we can't go. We can't accomplish this. How many of us, I include myself, God has done absolutely majestic and miraculous things for. And then you come to a situation in your life and you say, I don't think we can go forward with this. I don't think we can move on this. I don't think we can do that. Why? Because you've forgotten what He's done in the past. You say, well, I don't remember anything I've forgotten. Now, I'm going to simply tell you this and move to the next thing. If God can save your soul and deliver a hell-deserving sinner from eternal destruction and give you everlasting life, and a home in heaven, there is nothing in your life you will ever confront that's more difficult for God than that. Amen. Remember. Write it down. When God does something for you, write it down. You say, oh, I'll never forget. Yeah, you will. You have. Sometimes something like this jogs your memory and you recall it and bring it back. But write it down. Remember what God has done in the past, and it will give you faith to believe God for the future. Amen. Number two, we limit God, I think, by laziness. Oh, really? Laziness. Yeah, I'd like to use some kinder word, but that's just the word. That's just the word, okay? Let me ask you here. We're here in an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We preach out of the old book, sing out of the hymn book, and all that kind of stuff that we say, you know. How many of you here ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you had a Mormon come? Anybody ever have a Mormon come to your door? Yeah. How many of you have had, now in this congregation it may be different, other than from this church, how many of you have had a Bible-believing Christian come by to tell you how to trust Christ as your Savior? How many of you? Gone from about 100% down to about 15%. Now, do the Mormons have the truth? No. Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth? No. Which is stronger, truth or error? Truth is stronger than error. It's always stronger than error. Jehovah's Witnesses have the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life and witness? No. Mormons have the power of the Holy Spirit on their life and witness?
Bible believers have the power of the Holy Spirit on their life and witness? Yeah. You say, yeah, but preacher, they got the devil on their side. I read a book, and it's a good book. You'll read it. I recommend it. And in that book, I read, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know. There's no statistics on this, and there's no way to get a statistic on it. But if I were to guess, I would say that a person trying to win people to a false statement would have to exercise more effort than a person trying to win somebody to the truth. If that be true, and I'm going to include Muslims in this too, though they have not come to your door. Then I'm going to say, why are Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Muslims growing like crazy? They have to be outworking us. I would say they'd have to work at least five times as hard as we do to win a convert. And yet they're outgrowing us like crazy. Why is that? It's because the Church of God is just not working. Now we're having a good time. We enjoy it. I enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. Honored, glorified, and exalted? Yes! Jesus saves? Yes! All the instrumental music and the voices singing and all the things that we have. Enjoy? Oh, yeah, I just want to serve God with it. True. But they're outworking us in the field. They're outworking us. Number three, we limit God by forgetfulness. We don't limit God by laziness. We limit God by lack of yieldedness. Now I want you to watch what this coat can do. You see it? See an arm go up? An arm goes up. Goes down, straight out, bends, all those kinds of things. That coat can just move all kinds of different directions. Now, come on, coat, put your arm up. Come on, put it up. There's nothing in it that gives it power to do that. If I can get through all these wires, I'll get it back on. But now it can. But what if this coat had a will of its own? What if this coat said, I don't want to raise up. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fold. I like to hand it straight without wrinkles. I don't like it bent up and all them wrinkles. It doesn't look good. I look better. I look better when I hang down like this. I feel better about myself whenever I'm like that. I don't like to be like this. And I just look so awkward like that and everything. And whenever we say to God, that just doesn't fit me, God. I don't like to be used that way. I don't like for you to wrinkle me up like that. I don't like that. I like the way I feel better. I like, you know. By unyieldedness, rebellion, disobedience, all of those things limit God's use of our lives, and whenever we limit his use of our lives, we limit what he does in this world. Can we not see that? And if we can see it,
Why in God's name don't we do something different about it? We have misplaced loyalties. We limit God with displaced loyalties. We pledge our allegiance to organizations. We pledge our allegiance to denominations. We pledge our allegiance to individual preachers and Christian leaders. We pledge our allegiance to politics and everything else instead of our God. We have loyalties to schools. We have friendships with the world. And the Word of God says friendship with the world is enmity against God. I move quickly, believe it or not. Number four, five, six, do I hear seven? Anyway, the next one. We have forgetfulness, laziness, unyielded areas, misplaced loyalties, and unbelief. Unbelief. Hey, I'm a believer now. Well, good. That's great. But here in this passage of Scripture, what it's referring to is the children of Israel not entering into the promised land. And it says very clearly in Hebrews that they entered not in because of their unbelief. It was not that they did not enter in because God was not able to give them victory. It was not that they did not enter in because God would not give them guidance and direction. They entered not in because of unbelief. They limited the Holy One of Israel by their unbelief. The last chapter, the last verse of chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, you can look it up sometimes, verse 58. Jesus is in Nazareth. He's back home in his hometown. He has moved to Capernaum and operating his ministry from there down at the Sea of Galilee, but he's back in Nazareth. And in Nazareth, he's preaching in the synagogue, and it was at this time that they attempted to stone him to death and everything like that in Nazareth because of what he was talking about and because of his preaching. And it says there, now, he healed a few people. He did some marvelous things there. But the Scripture says, he did not many mighty works there. Because he was sick that week and did not feel very well. New unauthorized translation. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, there are times that God does something, he does some things just because he chooses to do those things and because he's going to manifest himself and he's going to show himself strong. But he does many, many, many things because he responds to our faith. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Could it be said in your life that he did not many mighty works in your life because of your unbelief, because of your forgetfulness, because of your displaced loyalties? Because of your lack of faith? All things are possible with him, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we sing it. I love it. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you have faith in an almighty God. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Did you ever hear anybody say this? Whenever they're confronted about service for the Lord in a particular area. Now, very soon there's going to be a job journey fair, and I talked to that, said a word about that in the bulletin. But all the time, we're talking about all kinds of things that need to be done and that are needed here in this church. And a church this size, the list just goes on and on and on of things that need to be done. And you talk to someone about doing something, and they say, and I'm going to take it as I'm talking, they say, "Well, preacher, I just don't believe I can do that." Did you catch that? I just don't believe. I just don't believe. I just don't believe. It's not the potential is not in them. It's not that God is not in them. It's not that God is not able. I just don't believe. Moving forward for God as a church, moving forward for God in our individual lives, we come to a place of entering into the land that the children of Israel were in Psalm 78, verse 41. We come to that place and we say what they said. I just don't believe I can do that. I just don't believe I can. And we think it sounds very humble. And we think it sounds quite spiritual. Whenever it is quite dogmatically anti what God says. I just don't believe. Boy's quiet in here right now. May it not be said of Volusia County Baptist Church in the year 2017, I did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Number next. And number last for today. Prayerlessness limits God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Call. I'll answer. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Dear grand old preacher of years gone by, John R. Rice, wrote a book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he said that's the essence of prayer. He said, now there's supplication and there's praise and there's all kinds of things in our conversation with God. But prayer is simply asking, asking. And the answer to prayer is receiving. Now, I know we say God says, no, wait a while, yes, what, you know. But he's just simply boiled it down to this, prayer, asking, and receiving. In his book, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving, 250,000 copies, last count I heard, have been sold and wonderfully distributed, and that was many, many years ago. But he tells a story. It's not a Bible story. And he tells it. I do not know that this actually happened to him, but he tells it as if this happened to him, that he did this. He said, "I dreamed that I went to heaven." Now, I don't know how it's going to be, and you don't know how it's going to be. But this is his, okay, his opinion, his idea, so forth. And it illustrates a good truth that I'm trying to get across to you right now about this thing of prayer. He said, I dreamed I went to heaven. And he said, in heaven, the Lord was showing me around and all the beauties and all the things. And we passed a place where the door was closed. And I said, Lord, what's in that room? And he said to me, John. Now, none of us who knew him ever called him John. He was always Dr. Rice, okay? But the Lord could call him John, okay? He said, John, you don't want to know what's in there. He said, well, Lord, this is heaven. All things are open. And there's no secrets here. He said, John, you don't want to know. Yes, Lord, he said, I do want to know. I do want to know. What's in the room? He said, okay. And he said, he opened the door, and I went in, and I looked around, and here were all of these things. Some were just with bows on them. Some were boxes or apt and so forth like this, and I saw things, and I said, ooh, I love that. I don't need it up here, but boy, I'd love to have had that down on earth. Wow, I would love. Oh, look at that. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. What, Lord, what are all these things? And the Lord said, John, these are all things that I had for you that you never asked for. Now that's a story from the mind of Dr. John R. Rice, but it's an illustration of the truth of God's Word when Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Wouldn't it be something if I pulled in that truck back there 35 minutes ago? If I pulled into that truck and into a garage and I said, I need a little help here. Need a little help. This engine's got a governor on it. I need you to take it off. Guy opened the hood, got his tools, got down in there. A few minutes later, he says, you're good to go. Now, U-Haul would not have liked that, and he probably wouldn't have done it. But he said, you're good to go. And I got back out on the road. On down the highway I went and got home early. Wouldn't it be something if some of us would pull into a spiritual garage and say, gotta take that prayerlessness out. Gotta get that limiter. Gotta get that limiter of prayerlessness off. Well, how do you eliminate prayerlessness? I mean, it's not like it's rocket science, brain surgery. How do you eliminate forgetfulness? How do you eliminate lack of belief? How do you change that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The mechanic is here, and the tools are in your hand. Wouldn't it be great, instead of just idling along about 35 miles an hour in your Christian life, you take prayerlessness off. You will add on 70 mile an hour speed zone. You're riding along at 35. Driving yourself and everybody else crazy. And you take prayerlessness off and you jump that thing up 45. Whoa! You get down in there,
Get for forgetfulness out of there. Jump out of there. Get faith in there. I don't know about whenever I was a kid, we played cars and we run them in the dirt and all that kind of stuff. That's what we did. I know kids do this now, but we used to do that. And my cars had all kinds of gears. I mean, it's just... Dun, 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 dun. Now, those of you that don't understand what... Dun, 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 you don't, if you don't understand that, that's a clutch, and you're going to the next gear. That's what that is. That's what that is. If you don't know what a clutch is, forget it. I don't have any explanation for that. But my cars had 20 gears. I mean, and every gear got a little higher, a little shorter. I mean, it's just going like crazy. Like a little boy sitting on the front row in church, and he had a little car, and he was going. He's just sitting on the front row doing that while preacher preaching. Preacher looked down, and he said, "Son, stop that." And he went, but wouldn't it be something if we took the limiters off God? And you do it or you don't do it. I don't start with this stuff, but I'm old. I can identify with that. I'm sick. I'm not educated. I don't know very many people. Why don't you just start taking the limiters off? And instead of saying, "I don't believe I can," why don't you just say, "I believe I will." Amen. What would you attempt for God if you knew you could not fail? Well, I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you would say, "Preacher, I must be honest and say, I know there are some things in my life that are limiting God"? Would you raise your hand? I must be honest about that. You may put them down. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do this. Whenever we stand in a moment, I'm going to ask you not to stand where you are. I'm going to ask you to walk down here to the front and either stand here at the front or kneel here at the front. And I'm going to ask you to tell God, "God, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit limiting you in that area." And whenever the devil comes back in there and tries to put that limiter on there again, say, "God, I need your help now, but I'm not going to let that thing come back in my life. I'm going to take that limiter off." Whenever we stand, I want you to just move from your place and come right down here to the front. And I want you to tell God that. You don't need to tell me. I want you to tell God that. Don't wait and dally around. Say, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." Now, I want you to be ready. Just with one movement, just move from where you are. Come right down here and tell God. Let's stand together. Come right on. If God has spoken to your heart, the instruments play, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way." Will you come right now? Now's the time. Now's the time to say, "Yes, Lord, I will. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." All excuses cast aside. Stand here at the front, kneel, whatever the Lord wants you to do. However, whatever. There may be some here that even in this time, God has spoken to your heart about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The reason you're not saved is not because of God's inability, but it's because of your lack of faith, your lack of trusting Him.
It's on you. It's on you. There may be some here this morning need to come join in fellowship with this church. We invite you to come. We invite you to come. We're going to play one more verse, and I want to have prayer with these that are here at the front. I want to have prayer with you in just a moment. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Father, I look at a commitment from your people. Certainly the days, the months, and the years ahead will reveal the depth and sincerity of that commitment. But Lord, right now, I ask you to bless. I ask your power, which I know is already with us, but I ask that your power be released among us. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for the church to grow. I pray for prosperity in the offerings. I pray, Father, for your leadership and your guidance in every aspect of this ministry. I pray, Lord, limiters that have been identified in lives here today will be removed and cast in the trash to be reinstalled. Never again. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Instruments are going to play one more verse. If you want to go back to your seat, you may. Touch me, heal me, Savior divine. And all God's people said, if I said that today to God, what I would do is I would go home, or before I left out of here, and in my Bible, I would write down the date and what I did regarding limiting God. I would do that. Hope you'll be back tonight. Hope you'll be back tonight. I apologize for a short sermon. I'll try to preach a little longer tonight. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed.